We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
All right, good evening. If you're just joining us on the live stream, live or sometime later, we continue our study this evening in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Although what we're going to do this evening is kind of overlap between what's been more of an expositional series through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs into what will become more of a topical series on various issues that are addressed throughout the book of Proverbs, in the main body or latter part of the body, chapters 10 through roughly chapter 30, where it becomes more expositional again. But so what I mean by that is we're going to look at verses 6 through 11 of chapter 6 on the topic of laziness in the counterpart of diligence to some extent this evening. But then also look at other portions of the book in the book of Proverbs, other proverbs, that is, that speak about this issue of laziness. You might remember last time, which has been a few weeks ago now, that we looked at verses 1 through 5, where the father warns his son not to be entangled in another man's financial affairs, specifically his debt, where he gives this exhortation, don't become surety for your friend. We use the somewhat comical illustration of Josiah buying a bicycle at Walmart and his dad being the guarantor of that bike. And the issue, I think, by becoming a guarantor of this debt, what really the issue is that you're relinquishing control of your assets, your belongings. And this is bad stewardship of what God has entrusted you with. When you are now giving up that control to someone else, rather than being in control of that and using it in the most God-glorifying way that you can. And if you find yourself in this situation, maybe it's too late that you've come across this instruction and now you are already in that situation, the father tells his son, what should you do? Verse 3, deliver yourself. Do everything morally and legally possible to be released from that agreement. That's verses 1 to 5. Now in verses 6 through 11, the father teaches his son yet another lesson to keep his son, and likewise us, off the path of folly. The lesson is about being diligent. More poignantly, it's about not being lazy. As Christians, do you agree we ought not to be idle, slothful with our time and energy and belongings, with our thoughts, with the time that God has given to us? Diligence refers to showing care and conscientiousness in one's duties or work. Now, I understand and notice that there's an obvious overlap here on this topic with what Pastor Matt has been doing on the series of Christian character. I went back and looked. I think he did a lesson on diligence back in August of last year, so I suppose that some of us have probably already forgotten some of that, myself included. But this evening, rather than going to the great length that he did to look at other portions of Scripture, which is a very helpful thing to do, I want to focus on really more a theology of laziness. So again, the counterpart here, maybe more the negative side that I hope will motivate us to think about what he instructed us to do, which is to be diligent. And if you don't remember that study, well, go back and either listen to the live stream or look at the notes that are there on the website and focus on some of the instruction that was given there. But this evening, we'll focus on maybe the more negative aspect of laziness, its consequences, a lesson, as well as maybe what we might call the attitudes of the lazy and why they are not good, not Christian. And so that's going to be our focus this evening, beginning, number one, with a lesson from an ant and a farmer. A lesson from an ant and a farmer. I found it comical. I was telling John this earlier. I don't know if he found it that comical or not, but I was typing up this message on this section in Proverbs 6 about going to the ant, and I felt something on my hand, and I looked down, and there was a little ant crawling on my hand, I suppose foraging and trying to find some food or something. Yeah. So, anyways, I quickly flicked him off, and I think he's okay, but probably will find the ant poisoning in the kitchen over there, hopefully. Anyways, all that aside, Proverbs chapter 6 this evening. Let's look at verses 6 to 11, and then we'll flip over to chapter 24 and look at verses 30 and 31. The father writes here, I hope drawing our attention in through this observation of creation and how, a tiny insect, how he lives his life. He says there, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Here we have a proverbial comparison here. The ant serves as an illustration that connects all living creatures through a common principle, really functioning then as a rebuke to lazy people who lack the wisdom that even a small insect like an ant has. The ant knows, we might say by instinct, if nothing else, that it must forage in the summer to survive in the winter months. They are very diligent to do this. Have you ever observed an ant that isn't busy doing something? It's always moving about. I did a little research on ants. I was not an expert and still am not, but this is what Google told me. Harvest ants, one kind of ant, collect and store seeds in underground chambers. So they spend their months in the summer and fall harvesting, so that they have seeds to eat during the winter. It's been noted that harvest ants will gather approximately 20% of the colony's total body weight in one day. A leaf cutter ant can carry its own body weight in one trip. Isn't that amazing? On average, ants that are foraging may travel up to 160 feet a day. I found something about a desert ant that will travel up to 1 mile in a day. Now, 160 feet in a day, that may not sound much like much. In fact, it may sound very lazy. But in comparison to a human, that is roughly 10 miles. I have a hard time even getting, well, maybe sometimes a mile of steps in a day, given my job and sitting behind a desk or just not walking much like maybe a manual laborer might. So I have to make a little extra effort to get up and move about. But here the ant is very busy. And even ants that do not store food for the winter must gather and eat enough to have energy to survive the winter. I found that or learned today that some ants don't storage as much, but will eat and conserve that for energy in the winter and go into somewhat of a hibernation where they are relying on the food that they have eaten to get through the winter. And all of that, the father says the ant needs no supervisor, no ruler, no captain to motivate her efforts. She does it simply because she knows there is a need. She is self-motivated. She has a diligence about her that all of us should learn from. And this lesson of the diligent and self-directed ant is directed in this proverb section to the sluggard. The sluggard is the lazy one, the idle man, who is not doing what he ought to do. He is very lazy in his efforts. And so the father here exhorts the sluggard, the idle, the lazy, to go to the ant. Notice the two imperatives there, go and consider. The way of the ant. In other words, if a tiny ant works diligently with foresight to know that the winter is coming, then we as humans should be diligent in our duties. If even the tiniest of insects understands the importance of that. And in verse 9, if you look there, we find that the sluggard is questioned as though from his own bedroom, where he lies asleep in the bed. I imagine this picture where the wise and diligent father goes to his son who's still laying in his bed and says, "When are you going to rise?" Maybe your parent has done that to you. Come in, said, "Get up, get out of your bed. Get to whatever you need to do that day. Get to school. Get to work." It's possible that even in verse 10, then, is to be understood as the wise person mimicking the response of the sluggard to the taunt of verse 9. Maybe you could imagine that the young man in bed saying, "Well, just a little bit more sleep, a little bit more slumber. A few more minutes, 5 more minutes, please." But the problem is really the sluggard here is always asking for a little more time, a little more sleep, a little more rest, a little more ease, with no real intention of being timely and rising out of bed or showing care in his duties. It's just an excuse. There's another lesson for us, not only that we can learn from the ant about how we ought to work. We'll get to verses 10 and 11 in just, or verse 11 in just a moment, but flip over just for a minute to Proverbs chapter 24, where we learn a lesson from a story of a passerby. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Here, one of the sayings of the wise, unidentified, says this in verse 30, "I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man." Does that sound familiar? We just read that in Proverbs chapter 6. At least those last verses 33 and 34 are the same that we found back there in chapter 6. But here we find another lesson. First, we learned a lesson from the ant. Now maybe more of a negative lesson from a farmer or a vine dresser. The unnamed passerby looks at the field, looks at the vineyard, and what does he observe? Well, he thoughtfully observes the condition of the field, and the one who is lazy and devoid of understanding. And note that here, then, really lazy and fool are synonymous here. The one who is lazy is the one who is devoid of understanding. In other words, he is a fool. The deteriorated condition of their fields revealed the truth about the owners, the truth of their attitude, the truth about themselves. Left unattended and unkempt and not weeded, everything becomes overgrown and the fence is in shambles. And what does the passerby think about? What does he consider? Well, he considers the fact that this is the result of laziness. All of this has come about because the owner has an attitude of laziness. He'd rather have a life of ease. And now, the condition of the field is such that he has poverty. He has need. Sometimes we have to learn these lessons the hard way. Other times, like here in chapter 24, We learn from the example of others, and we say, I don't want my life to be like that. I don't want that kind of outcome. Maybe it's not particularly a dilapidated field or fence, but you look at someone and you say, the laziness that has always characterized their life has now brought about need. And you say, I don't want to live like that. And that's the lesson we're to learn from here, the consequences of laziness. And so we bring that, maybe our second point this evening here, would be those very consequences of laziness that we should learn from. Number one, laziness brings what we might call generally economic need or personal need. Thinking of chapter 6, verse 11, or chapter 24, verses 33 and 34. What does he say? So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Proverbs tells us that poverty and need befall the fool who lacks diligence. And you know, it may not seem that being lazy brings poverty, at least at first. You understand you can kind of get by for a time being lazy. Whether it be because it goes unnoticed, or because maybe you have a deep pocket for a while, but then eventually you work through the belongings that you have or the assets that you have, and eventually you're in need. And you're faced with the reality that because of your lack of diligence, now you have nothing. Proverbs 13:4 says it this way, the soul of the lazy man desires, but has nothing. Proverbs 20, verse 4 goes on to say, talk about that he will go to others begging for need in winter because he avoided plowing in the winter, probably maybe a reference to early spring when he should have been preparing his fields, and now he's without a crop. I think a major problem in our society is that we do not encourage people to work hard. We coddle the lazy. Furthermore, I think our government enables people to be lazy often by giving out free handouts to many who are simply lazy, who are not truly in need of aid, thus leaving those who are actually in need without the help. And what does this do? Well, I think it also puts economic hardship on the rest of the hardworking people of our society. And so maybe a lesson from this is not only does it bring personal need to the lazy, but also by extension brings about need for every other person in society, because they're bearing the consequence of those who have acted lazily. Laziness brings economic need. Number two, laziness brings what we might say a form of servitude. Proverbs 12:24 warns that the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Now, in the first century, we learn even from the New Testament, some sold themselves into slavery to pay off debts. And that's not to say that in every case it was because the person was lazy. Maybe they fell upon unfortunate circumstances. They lost their crop, or they lost their ship or something like that due to weather or bad circumstances. So it's not in every case that someone who was in debt servitude was as a result of laziness. But we could imagine that often or sometimes that was the case. We even find in the Old Testament that there were laws regulating debt servitude. You can write these passages down to look at later. We don't have time this evening, but Leviticus 25, 39 and 40, Exodus 21, verses 2 to 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, 21 to 25, all give us laws regulating this kind of debt servitude. And in all of them, we find that this servitude was always voluntary, temporary, regulated, and protected. There were certain specific laws about those who were serving in this debt servitude. If it was another Israelite, how you were to treat them. In all of this, I think we find that laziness will eventually catch up poor work performance, uncompleted tasks at work or home, a messy home, a messy yard, a messy life in general, all will finally catch up and demonstrate that there is an issue of the heart. Not only does laziness bring economic need or a form of servitude, whether it be, you know, serving your creditor because you've been lazy and you don't have the money to pay the things that you need to buy, even, you know, things like an electric bill or whatever, eventually will bring some form of servitude. But it also brings general hardship. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." I think the lesson here of this proverb is the way of the lazy is actually quite difficult, ironically. But in another form of irony, the lazy man will work very diligently to stay on that path. I've heard it said that the lazy are actually quite hardworking. They will, in fact, do all that they can for ease and rest. You know what I mean by that? Lazy people, they will work very hard to stay in that state of ease or rest or comfort or entertainment. But in the end, poverty will come. Hardship will come. Servitude will come. All of these proverbs here are given to us to warn us and say, this is not the kind of life you want to live. It's not as easy as it is painted to be. The outcome is always destruction, struggle, difficulty. We end this evening by just looking for a moment at, finally, the attitudes of the lazy. This is the heart of the matter, we might say. You know, why things are so difficult, why these consequences come about, because of the inward attitude of the lazy. And these are drawn from Proverbs as well. Number one, he is unbothered by how his idleness affects others. Proverbs 10, verse 26 says this, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." In other words, I think what's being communicated here is that the lazy is in this case, is supposed to be running an errand or is a messenger. But every time he disappoints, he is a frustration to those who send him out. And yet the lazy seems to be unbothered by this. Unbothered by the way in which his laziness affects others. In other words, we put it this way, the lazy is very self-centered. Always and only concerned about himself rather than the needs of others. Number two, he finds excuses to avoid work. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The lazy man says, 'There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets.'" In other words, he is always manufacturing some reason why he can't work or why a task is unfinished. Some possibility out there why he can't do it. Some risk factor that then he says, "Well, I can't do it." Although he hasn't counted the risk factor of poverty in that equation, losing a job or losing his home because of his laziness. Thirdly, he is unmotivated even by his own needs. Proverbs 19:24, "A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." It's kind of a backwards way of thinking here, isn't it? You would think that the hunger of his stomach would motivate him. But does it? No. He's so lazy. He's so disoriented by this attitude, this mindset, that he's not even willing to meet his own need. And finally, he is, can I simply put it, an arrogant fool. Proverbs 26:16 says, "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." He's disoriented. He's arrogant. He's prideful. And so, I encourage you this evening with these proverbs in mind to consider, where in my life am I a little bit lazy? And I hope this evening that you'll expand this thinking beyond just your job. You may think, well, I'm young, maybe I don't have a specific job, that is a job that's earning me an income, but you have some responsibility, maybe given to you by your parents, some task, thing that you're supposed to help with around the home or outside. And it begins now, at that age, of forming a hard work ethic, a mindset of, I am going to do this with diligence, with gladness, promptly, because I'm to do it to the Lord. Not just pleasing man, but pleasing the Lord. For those of us who have an employer, do it with diligence, because your testimony matters. And because you have a responsibility to provide for your family. But I want to expand just for a moment then, too, this thought of not being lazy in other spheres of life. What about ministry? What about responsibilities you have there to build one another up? Maybe your laziness in other areas of life are affecting that. That is to say, because you've put off the tasks around your house, or in your home, or with your family, you no longer have time to devote to the ministry. What about laziness in terms of your personal sanctification? Have you made time this week to work on that? The task of growing in Christ-likeness? Or have you put that off for another day, when you think you might have more time? But the fact is, we need to prioritize that now, in the present. As I was studying this today here and thinking about my own life, I thought of a few areas in my life that I could work on to be more disciplined. I hope you'll take the practical steps to do that. I think that begins with having a measure of accountability. And maybe you already have that in place in your workplace, but maybe you need it in your home, with your spouse, having him or her help you in those areas of the things that need to be accomplished around the home or in your Bible, in your personal sanctification, or in ministry. And then remembering in all of this that you have one who is watching over you. You have an overseer. You have the Lord himself. And we will give an account one day for the way in which we have used our time, whether it is to his glory or honor, or whether there will be, well, we might say some amount, fleeting as it may be, and temporary amount of shame. Oh, Lord, I haven't served you as I ought to. I had a lot of time. In fact, we all have the same amount of time. Some of us have used it more wisely than others. I know that to be the case in my own life, that others have for sure set an example of being diligent. And my aim is to follow after that example. I hope yours is this evening as well. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, there's more that could be excavated, we might say, from these Proverbs. But Lord, I pray that this evening has been a sampling that has helped us and convicted us and challenged us to be more diligent, to not be like the fool who is lazy, always making excuses, only thinking of himself, unbothered by how his laziness affects others, not able to have the foresight to see that his laziness, though seemingly not harming himself or others, it truly does have a poor and destructive outcome. Lord, help us to, if that has been our case even this week, that there's been some level in some area of laziness, that we would repent of that, turn away from that, and find the joy and peace and good conscience that comes from laboring diligently in all the areas and responsibilities that you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen.